start with, you know, just what you and I wanted to talk about in this video is I'm a firm believer that if you are still purchasing internet leads, your business will be irrelevant in 5 years.
All right, guys, Justin Brock here, Medicare Gurus, and I'm sitting down today with one of the speakers we have at the Medicare Gurus Mastermind. He's been on here before, and I'm super excited. He's one of the most exciting guys to be because he brings several years of inception to fame, we'll say, in the Medicare industry for bringing a call center up full speed in a relatively short amount of time. And, you know, he's pretty humble because when we talk, it's like he's always talking about how other people are doing better and better than he is. But when you look at his numbers, a lot of us are thinking, man, I wish I had those numbers. So anyway, I'm going to let him introduce himself and then we're going to get right into it. So Robert Baish, what's up,
man? Hey, Brock. Good to see you, man. Good morning. So thanks for having me here. And I'm really excited to speak at the Mastermind. After I see all the speakers and now I'm hearing about all who's coming, you know, Cantu and Jagger and some other people, I almost feel like I should just go in attendance and have to pay to go instead of you bringing me in as a speaker. But I'm really excited to, if I can share anything with anyone that helps them grow their business, I take a good value in that. And, you know, you and I were talking about, you know, what should I talk about at the Mastermind? And like you said, little background for those of you that don't know, I started my own call center about 8 years ago with no outside funding. I own my company. So that's been challenging. So I'm a lot like you guys that maybe you don't want to go and raise money to start an agency or call center style agency. You can do it on your own. It does take some money, but you don't have to sell your soul necessarily like some people are doing to grow their center. So I'll just kind of share with you some insights of what I've learned. My goal is at the Mastermind, but if any of you guys have some ideas of what you guys want to know about, please leave a comment on this post and I'll check it because I'm starting to work on the content for the Mastermind. And anytime, you know, getting your feedback and on what you guys might want to know, I'm happy to share with everybody. But to start with, you know, just what you and I wanted to talk about in this video is I'm a firm believer that if you are still purchasing internet leads, your business will be irrelevant in 5 years. And that is something that I've really come to realize, and I wish somebody would have told me sooner, because what you're seeing, and Brock, you, I think you see this too, people that are buying leads, it's not that the vendors are giving the worst leads on purpose to smaller buyers. It's just how it works, because the people that you're competing with that are buying leads online are the companies that are already generating their own, but they need more leads to feed the agents as they grow. So they're buying third-party leads. Well, they're very sophisticated how they purchase and distribute their leads. You know, these big call centers, Health Plan One, Transact, Spring, some other ones that are out there, they have huge teams that will profile their agents and profile a lead, and they will distribute those leads to those agents based on, you know, let's say Agent Sue converts a Texas lead higher than Agent Joe, but a male from 68 to 72, she's better at. And maybe a female 76 to 81, Joe's better at. They do distribute their leads that way. They have an agent profile internally. That's also how they purchase leads too. So think about that. If you're an average agent that's just trying to spend $400 or $500 a day on leads and you're buying from any of the lead vendors, keep in mind that you're competing with these teams that are very sophisticated and willing to bid more and less on certain leads. And so I think a lot of agents that are smaller, they go through these different lead vendors and they say, oh, this lead vendor sucks or this lead vendor sucks. And it's really, it's not that that lead vendor sucks. It's just that you're buying the bottom of the barrel leads because other people are coming in and buying the better ones. Yes. So,
and your process to work those leads is less sophisticated than the people that are able to work them more effectively. Some of these guys that are buying them and still hard dialing on a phone and stuff, you know, you don't have the algorithm built into the call pattern. You don't have the local pulse marketing presence where you're like making it, you know, with a phone number that's more likely to get answered and all the little things that, you know, at the call center level, so many people are doing so many things. And like you're talking about getting into even distributing the lead to the specific agent that works that hyper targeted demographic the best, you know, the female, the 68 to 75 in you know, West Texas, you know, is better than, you know, and it's crazy to me that they're doing that. But I mean, I could see it because, you know, when you talk to some of these guys, they're some of the guys running these big call centers and on their executive team, some of the smartest people I've ever met. So,
well, I mean, even on a basic level. So, you know, you have a Mississippi draw. Okay. Mm-hmm. So if you worked for me, I'm going to put you in the Midwest, you know, cause you have a draw and, you know, so if you, I'm going to have you in a lot of states, but I assure you, because of your Mississippi draw, there's going to be Oklahoma, Mississippi, Texas. Like, you as an agent on the phone by default will do a little better there than maybe if you called New York or Florida or other places. And realist, you know, we have, and we're always guessing as call center owners on that. So we definitely use our statistics to back that, but I can just something on a very front level, like for you, I would just, you know, you would probably do better in those few states in that area than maybe somebody who is from New York and talks like a very fast talking New York person. Yeah. They might have a harder, you know, people in Mississippi might have a harder time talking to that agent than someone like you who has a nice Southern drawl and reminds them of their grandson or something like that.
Definitely. I remember calling leads in like Indiana, you know, early on, and I did really well in Indiana because they appreciated the Southern accent. But then I would call a lead in like New Jersey,
and they think you're stupid.
They're an idiot. And I'm
why
like,
you talk so slow?
Yeah. People from New Jersey calling Mississippi, they're just going to think they're crooked and trying to sell them something, which right. None of that's true. It's just all perception, but it matters.
Well, so. sales is psychology, right? You know, just yeah. Like, you know, it's same thing with, you know, so, you know, something like that. So I definitely want to talk to people about generating leads. You know, I think that's where to go. And I might have a solution for people that are looking to generate their own leads that I might introduce at Mastermind. I'm still deciding if it's worth my time for the ROI to help do that. But so we'll see there. The other thing, you know, I talk about is, you know, and people that are coming to your conference are not necessarily a target audience for this, but maybe somebody who needs a little push to come. Okay. You know, to me, I think I've singled down the single characteristic that separates successful people and unsuccessful people. I think I've narrowed it down, and it's really when something is not going your way. So you have a adversity situation, and I kind of break this down on the agent level, but then I've even broken down with my friends like you and other successful people that I know. And when you have adversity, I believe unsuccessful people start with external factors, you know, taking it to an agent level. Oh, it's the leads, they suck, or, you know, I'm not working the right shift, or I got unlucky today. So I think unsuccessful people start external factors are to the reasons to blame for that. To where successful people, we internalize it where, so if something's not going right, it's, I start with what can I do better? For example, I as everybody knows, I market a lot on Facebook. You were sneaky and you shared one of the things I sent to you with, you know, one of my campaigns. And so, which I didn't mind, but they, for example, Facebook has been coming at me really hard the last week or two on my ads. They updated their ad policy. And so, you know, I could have fought and they told me I need to change this or that. And so I started with myself first. Okay. What can I get more creative on? What can I get better on? I didn't start like saying, oh, Facebook's dead. It's never going to work anymore. You know, I just, you know, you start with yourself or as an agent, you know, that agent next to me has that many sales or even people that are watching this. Well, Brock, you know, he has this successful agency or, you know, Beige has his agency and other people. And you can say, well, they were lucky or they did this or they did that instead of saying I can do it and let me learn and get into it. And I believe I can do it. And then when things go wrong, you know, I'm sure you've been late at night up there trying to figure out lead gen or a training, making a training manual or, you know, like when I have an unsuccessful agent, you know, I'm very guilty of keeping people too long. And it's because I definitely want to make sure that I did everything I could do to help someone be successful that works for me. And so I've gone back. And so when I have an agent that's struggling, you know, and I'm meeting with my sales manager and supervisors, not to call anybody out, but a lot of times they'll say, well, that agent's just not good. Okay. And sometimes that's the case, 100%. This is not for everybody. Sometimes people are not good at sales. They're not good at this. But I always start with, no, what can we do better, Joe? That's my salesman. What can we do better to my supervisor? Like, what are we not doing well enough? Like, should that agent shadow our top agents? Do we need to bring them in? And do we need to sit with them? Like, what can we do to help that agent better? And I think that I've been successful in life over the last, you know, 8 years building, well, first 3 years when I was selling for someone else, and then 8 years now building this agency, because when something isn't going right, or like I tell you, so-and-so is doing better, it's more of admiration. And it's like, okay, well, I think I can do better too. It's not, well, that's not fair. So-and-so had this or whatever. So I would like your take on that, as far as, would you agree with that? I think that's the single characteristic that separates people.
Definitely. I mean, you know, you look at anybody that's successful in anything, even you like draw, I like to, you know, draw any kind of business building. A lot of times it gets drawn back to like at sports and athletics. And I don't think you've ever seen a successful athlete that was successful in athletics that said, well, LeBron James is, you know, just physically he's better. Well, there's a lot of people that are built like LeBron James that don't play like LeBron James. They're not putting the effort into it the way he was. I was watching like a Kobe interview where he was talking about how Shaq was this perfect physical specimen, but didn't actually work hard enough to be who he was. He said, we could have had 12 championships if Shaq would have just worked hard.
Well, Shaq said that. You know, I saw an interview with Shaq, and Shaq said, yeah, you know, Kobe would get on to me and I would come into training camp overweight. You know, another player that comes to my mind right now that does that is Joker for Denver. You know, it takes him till right about now to where he can move. Now I want to go drinking with him. The dude looks like a great time. But you know, and to your point, people like that are built like LeBron, like J.R. Smith, like why weren't you, not J.R. Smith, Josh Smith, I don't know if you remember him, played for the Hawks, like why weren't you LeBron? You're 6'9" and 230, and
we're big we've been going to a lot of Grizzlies games lately, and you look at Jaren Jackson Jr. and
Ja Morant
and Valanciunas. And Valanciunas is actually built a lot like LeBron James, you know. Is he, and he's really good. He's great. Amazing rebounder. But if he put in more work, because I think you'd find very few basketball players, you know, in that realm that would say LeBron James is not outworking them. You know.
Well, and there's a talent factor in life, by the way. Like there is a talent factor, but you can also make up for talent with hard work.
And that's the thing is, like, you take a top sales guy, like the top salespeople in the world are a combination of talent and hard work.
I agree.
You can take somebody with low talent in that field that works hard and can do just as good as a really talented guy who doesn't work hard enough. So you can't outwork it. Now, if you take a talented guy who really works his ass off and puts all his effort into it.
Then you have a LeBron or a Brock or exactly. You know, people that are successful.
And whatever that field is, they're going to dominate.
So bringing this back to like just the industry and stuff and business,
yeah.
I'm a big fan of, you know, I follow Gary Vee online, and there's some things I love about him, and there's some things I think that he says are just, you know, a little bit.
I agree.
But you never, but anybody, by the way, you could follow Brock, you could follow, you're never going to agree with what everybody, what you're not going to agree with everything what somebody says, right? And that's okay. You can still take things away. And a takeaway that I have from Gary Vee, which I really like, is there's no barrier to entry anymore. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just not. Like, you know, I always say I could not have started my agency if I didn't play video games growing up. And I mean it, because I built my website originally. I learned a CRM on the front and the back end. And a lot of it was just a video game. You know, I learned YouTube marketing. I learned Google and PPC. I learned Facebook. And a lot of it was just, you know, you dedicate the time and the money to try it. And a lot of it to me was like a video game. And, you know, to bring it to full circle, you know, when you told me like Cantu is coming to your event, I mean, yeah. I've spent some time with that dude. I mean, for those of you guys that don't know, are we allowed to say what he did? Or, I mean, I don't know.
I think so.
I won't say the company,
specifics.
But yeah, he's the GOAT. I mean, he was selling Medicare over the phone when it was paper applications, you know, 15 years ago. And he built a very successful company and sold to a publicly traded company. And he's not that old, and he's chilling right now. And he's also the smartest guy. If you could spend 15, 20 minutes with him. He's
but
very smart.
One thing you'll notice is, as well as he did on his deal, the type of person that he is, he's coming to the conference. He calls me up. And I mean, honestly, I kept telling him, he called me up and was like, do you care if I come? I want to stay sharp because, you know, one of these days I might want to start another business in the realm or whatever, you know, I don't know what his aspirations are, but he says he wants to stay sharp and involved. And then he goes and pays full price for a ticket, which I would have told him to come because I want him there. I mean, he brings that much value. Of course, he's got plenty of money right now, I guess. But but he, you know, when he, you know, is still trying to stay sharp, because he's that kind of guy that just enjoys the build so much. And I think that's something that, you know, people that are like, you know, saying, well, I want to, you know, spend that time, that weekend, that conference with my family and blah, blah, blah. And that's great. I do too. I want to spend plenty of time with my family and more, but people need to know that it's that type of person that becomes obsessed with the climb or the goal that are successful. You have to be a little bit obsessed with your business, or, you know, and if you don't want to be, and you just want to be a mediocre, you know, mid-level agent, you know, we're probably going to have some people like that at the mastermind as well. But I think that a lot of people are trying to get to where Robert Bache is, or where Richard Cantu got, or all these different places. And you're not going to do that without getting around the right people, learning, you know, what they learn. I remember, like, the first time I met you, I picked up stuff about, you know, Facebook marketing that helped us out just in general conversation. It's not like you went and said, here's all my ads, just go copy them. It was just general, you know, connections. And so many of, you know, going to things that we won or were invited to or paid to go or whatever, we've picked up so much information along the way and so many connections, and it's been awesome. And that's what I wanted the mastermind to be, very specific, and to maybe target some of the agents or agency owners that haven't been privileged to those
things. Well, let's talk about how you and I had, how we met and how we have these conversations with all these top people. And it's because we're all top producers.
Yeah.
So I know this just clicked. You know, I would not have met you if you were not a top producer and I was not a top producer. I would not have met Cantu and these other people that are very successful. But where do we meet each other and how do we become friends? Well, we get to travel the world 4 or 5, 6 times a year on these carrier trips. Mm-hmm. And to your point, we're all obsessed with our business. And then, so on a lot of these trips, and this, I got a feeling your event, you know, well, that's the first one. So, you know, don't know what to expect. But by the way, a lot of these conversations, like what you and I talked, it's, we're drinking some whiskey at a bar after the event and we're buzzed and we're probably oversharing about our business with each other.
Oversharing.
Yeah. It's like, oh man, maybe I shouldn't have, you know, told him, you know, how to target or this or that. Yeah. But then you realize like what you're doing has had no negative effect. It's only had a positive effect on me on a personal level, and even on a business level.
Stuff that we've shared, you know, I feel like, and I don't know about you specifically, but you know, there's plenty of people that I've been out there sharing things with that I'm sure that they were like, that makes sense. You know, I remember talking about, you know, when we were talking about Facebook ads, like the second or third time we were together, there was another guy that was there talking. And I was like, yeah, we're using Facebook, but we're using it in a local vicinity. And it was like, it just dawned on this guy, like, oh, I never really thought that you could just use it locally, you know?
Oh my gosh, that would be way easier. You know, I mean, yeah, I mean, that's a great idea. And so what I've realized is a lot of agents, you know, I'm putting something together that I've told you about low-key that I think will really help agents as far as the marketing goes. You know, I kind of did a test thing on Medicare Guru. I made a post about it to ask if people were interested, and I got some DMs about people being interested. So I'll kind of do that. So in closing, I just want to ask again, you know, I don't know what, you know, I'm humbled that you asked me to speak. I'm happy. You know, I have some ideas on what I want to talk about as far as how to develop a marketing budget, how to kind of like lifetime value and then back into cost per acquisition and kind of help people. That took me a couple of years to articulate. I was doing it already, but I just didn't know until, again, I met with some really smart people and they were like, well, yeah, you're doing it. It's just, you don't know the terms for it. So yeah. I kind of learned that. So, you know, I'm happy to share that. You know, I am really, what's cool about me and why my agents like to work for me is I still sell Medicare. I mean, I'm one of the few agency owners. Now it's mostly referrals or organic stuff. And, you know, I try to pass off as much as I can because I'm building and stuff like that. But, you know, I still think I'm the best at selling a Medicare product. So if anybody wants to kick around some script ideas, you know, or concepts, again, I'm more of a concept guy. When we did that course together last year, you know, I got a lot of DM feedback on my Medigap to Medigap presentation and how it really helped people. And they never really thought of it that way. And I hire agents, and where I'm located, man, we have tons of Medicare call centers here, and I'll get agents that have worked everywhere, and they'll come here and they'll be like, you're the first person that actually, I believe, sells this shit. Like, you're the only one, you know, normally, because let's face it, a lot of sales managers, the reason the sales managers is they're dependable. They know the product. But typically in these organizations like mine, your sales manager is not making as much money as your top 30, 40% of your agents.
Right.
So, you know, I know what they say, those that can't do, teach. And now I love sales managers. You need them. They're dependable and they know the product and they're good. And they're good agents. But the great agents that are, I mean, my top agents, I think I'm bringing one of them to your mastermind, Dave. I mean, that dude, he's making 150, 160 grand a year. I can't pay a sales manager that kind of money. You know what I mean? And so, you know, what people respect about me full circle is when I actually can, I have sold 1,200 policies by myself. I have been Mutual Omaha's single top producer, and that's not LOAs selling under me. That's my number, me writing myself. You know, that I've been Cigna's top guy for MedSup. David beat me overall because he sold cancer. David Haas, shout out.
Yeah.
number two. So, you know, there's, so, you know, I'm definitely happy to do that, but I don't know if at your event, people kind of feel like they already know how to sell it. So maybe that's not something they want me to talk about. So I would love some feedback, you know, some comments and stuff on what people want to know about what I do and what, how I could help them get there, I guess. So please leave some comments, guys. And that will help me develop the content for when I speak.
Yeah.
Because I'm not really coming to sell anything. I'm coming to help and you know, and just, you know, share with everybody.
The interesting thing about that, as busy as you are and as much as you have going on, you see the value in coming because you know that more value will come out of it than you would have gotten, you know. Honestly, every time you go somewhere like this, you pull something out of it. And you might learn something from somebody else too.
Pull one thing.
Yeah.
You know, you meet one person, you meet one, just, and the people you meet pay dividends sometimes later, you know what I mean? And like you said, in your, one of your posts, you know, some of your best friends are the people in this industry. And it's just reality, guys. Like I always, you know, Brock's the, you know, he has two kids. I have two kids. We both married women, our best friends and our wives when we were younger and we've grown together and our wives have put up with us working 12 hours a day at times. And so that's just someone you can relate. I mean, literally, I have a Rolodex, old school Rolodex, of in my phone where if I'm driving home, I commute home, there's somebody I'm calling. And if it's not my parents to check in, because sometimes I'll go a month without calling my mom, it's somebody in the industry of like, hey, what do you think about this? Or, you know, what are you selling right now? Like, you know, or what do you think is going on with this? Or, man, I'm having a hard time getting my agents to cross sell cancer. What are you doing that's working?
Yeah.
You know, and it's just a 15 minute conversation. So on the professional level, you know, it's not that we're whoring each other out for information, but it's also on a personal level of, you know, how you doing? You know what I mean? And how's everything going?
We enjoy the relationship. I mean, like I was saying, really good friends. I mean, if I'm sitting in a room and I'm thinking, okay, if I could hang out with anybody right now, the like top three or four people that are going to come to mind are probably other people in the Medicare niche of the insurance world. Just because we have so much to talk about. We can talk about family and stuff too. And we have a lot of in common there. But then even when it gets back to professional, we understand a lot of the things that are going on. And I try to hang out with people locally sometimes. And I'm like, yeah, I have really good friends here. But, you know, in my head, there's times where I'm like, I want to talk about Medicare. Or I want to talk about, you know, sales. And
well, it's just people can't relate. You know what I mean? I mean, most people our age, you know, I'll be 35 here in a couple of weeks. So I'll be 35 at your conference. And they just can't relate. I mean, most people are not successful. Like I tell my kids all the time, you know, well, so-and-so's doing this. And I'm like, okay, but if you're doing what everybody else is doing, you're not successful. Like most people. Right. So, you know, most people are like that. That's not to hurt anyone's feelings. I know Gary Vee says everybody can be successful. No, not everybody is made to be successful. They're just not.
Everybody has the potential, baby, but everybody doesn't want it bad enough to do what it takes.
No, you and I get migraines and we talk about it all the time. And it's because we don't take care of our bodies. We work our tail off during AEP. And then we usually have a couple migraines right after AEP just because we tell our bodies all during AEP, you can't have one right now.
Yeah.
And then as soon as we let up, it's like, oh man, I need like a week just to recover.
Yeah.
And it's because you're going, you know, balls to the walls. And if that's not for everybody. And I think not to overly promote your event, but because you don't have to come to this event to be, you know, that's not a telling sign that you don't want to be successful. There's other events it's a sign, you know, again, you're going to learn something in this conference. That's going to be a takeaway. That's going to help you be successful, whether you're a local agent or call center guy or an agent that works at a different call center and you're looking at going on your own. I mean, that's what I was. I worked at Transact for 3 years and I said, you know what? I like what I'm doing. I'm making good money, but my shot to be a millionaire is if I go on my own. The last thing I'll say is I literally remember my wife was 6 months pregnant with our second son, and I was thinking about going on my own. And I was making 140, 100, you know, 150 grand a year at 25, 24 years old. That's really good money. And my brother is a super successful attorney. He's my twin brother. He's awesome. When we get drunk, we argue over who's worth more because he has more cash, but I have maybe higher net worth. So that's good fights. But I remember, and he's got an MBA and a lawyer, and I did college, but I was working. And, so I didn't get a master's or anything like that. But I remember driving up and we went to the gym and I was in my driveway and my brother literally said to me, and if I ever write a book, this will be what motivated me to do it. He literally looked at me because I was sitting, he drove, he said, and I was like, man, I really think I got to go on my own. This was on a Thursday night. And he said to me, he goes, Bob, you're not that smart, man. If you think this is your shot to be a millionaire, you better do it. And I swear to God, I was like, all right, dude, that's all I needed, man. You know? And so I literally went in and my wife and I were supposed to go on vacation that following week. And with her parents, and I went in, I told her that Thursday night, 10 o'clock after getting back, and she was asleep, and I woke her up because I was just ready, and I said, hey, babe, I'm going to quit tomorrow. Tears. Like, yeah. What do you mean? How are you going to do that? You know, how are we going to – and I was like, I have to do it. I have to bet on myself. I have to try this. Yeah. And I literally – that's how it happened. And so I went in, and I was nervous, man. You know, I was making good money. I was young, and I went in and they tried to throw me more money to stay. And it really wasn't about the money. It was just about me fulfilling my potential, trying it.
The autonomy. You're the kind of guy that wants to build something that you built and you have control over the direction that you take it. And I'm that way. I want to have control over my direction and my, life and where it goes. And if I fail, at least I failed, you know.
Well, that's the other thing I guess you'll probably hear me say a lot of, and I'm a big fan of failing fast and doing, like, you know, and that's why I'm not a corporate guy. You know, I do consulting with all those call centers I've mentioned, and I work with all of them, and I got a great relationship, and they're all great people. No company naming here, but even when you talk to these guys that have sold their company and now they've got a board and they have all this stuff and you know, it's just so hard for them to try to do something. You know, if they want to, even as rolling out cross-selling cancer, it's got to go to legal and compliance and all this stuff. Yeah. And it takes 4 months just to put it in place. You know, if I have an idea, I'm going to try it. And I'm going to put a lot of money behind it if I think it's a good one. And if it doesn't work, okay, cool. What did we learn from it? You know, and that's why.
You really lose because you figure something out from that process every time.
It's such a cliche. It really is. And people say that stuff like, you know, you learn more in failure than you do win. I learned during both, full disclosure. I still prefer to win and learn. But to your point, you know, you get complacent when you kind of go in auto drive and you might miss an opportunity. And so when you are, say, struggling or continually, you know, you try an ad campaign, it doesn't work, you know, or you hire agents and it doesn't work. Okay. Revamp the training program. Let's try it again.
We were the same way. Last year, up until AEP, our crawl sales were at an all-time high, like especially cancer and dental. And they kind of fell off during AEP because we were so busy. And now I'm having to kind of go back and be like, how can I get them back on track? So, but anyway, man, you know, I really appreciate you sitting down with me. I'm so excited. I think you're going to be – you always undersell yourself, but, like, people are going to get a ton out of whatever you end up, you know, bringing. And I have a lot of ideas, and I'll tell you based on what you said, what I think would be the most valuable at the conference, and I'll send you emails about that. But anybody that wants to comment and has their own take of what they would take away, we'd love to do a poll. I may do a separate poll on this with some options after I talk to Bob about it and throw it in the group and see what they prefer of the, you know, three or four super jam-packed valuable things that you could talk about. So,
well, cause that's my biggest goal is when, you know, there's going to be a ton of great people there that are going to be speaking. So, you know, my goal is when I do speak with the group or stuff like this is if you guys, you know, I hope I can give a group of people one thing, just, you know, or one or two things that they can take away and be like, okay, this will help my business. Now, you know, so feel free, like if it is somebody's like, yeah, Bob, how, you know, give us your educational pitch, give us your Medigap pitch. Okay, cool. I'll spend time doing that. If it's no, I know how to sell, but I want to know more on running a call center. What's your hiring process? What's your what's your profile that you think is a good agent? Like anything like that, anything that people want to talk about, I'm happy to talk about. Cause, again, guys, there's 11,000 people a day turning 65. What'd they say? By 2022, there's going to be 75 million people on Medicare. I mean, Medicare, Bob, can't do it, can't help everybody. So there's plenty of people out there, that's for sure.
Yeah. Awesome, man. Well, we'll talk soon. I know you got to get to a meeting, so we're all busy guys. So I'll talk to you soon, buddy.
All right, buddy. Bless you, man. See you.
Bye.